peace, love, blessings, and healing across the vast planet. Welcome to Healing for Humanity, the Jennifer Jalencia Show on Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. I'm your host, Jennifer Jalencia, and I would like to start, as it has become tradition, by paying homage to a dear sister queen and comrade. This sister served as the manager of my vocal career. She also served as a beloved educator of my Prince Tabari. And she has just been a sacred friend, someone I could turn to over 25 years strong. And I giggle every time, you know, this sister says I add a year every time we're on the radio. But age is just a number because I'm revealing my age as I'm doing that. But I just love this sister with my entire heart. And I'm speaking of none other than our dear sister queen, Nia 2X. I thank you with all that I am for this explosive opportunity to lift my voice for humanity. Now, family, many may ask, Sister Jennifer, the title of your show, Healing for Humanity. That is quite an undertaking for one woman to think that she could heal all of humanity. And I humbly submit, family, from the time I was a child, despite wars and rumors of wars and mayhem and violence, even outside of my own window, in my mind's eye, I saw hearts and rainbows and stars. As a matter of fact, when I was a little girl in school, they called me Rainbow Child. And so I just always had this outlook on life. And I would sit at the foot of my elders and express these grandiose ideas. And I would sit at the foot of a sacred elder. And I am speaking of none other than my dearly departed Queen Mother. And I would express these ideas of how I saw life. And she would say to me in her deep, authoritative voice, as she was known in the community to be an authoritative figure, she would say, Jenny, as that's my family name, you can't save the world, child. And I would whisper under my breath, yes, I can save the world. And family, I would whisper because in those days when I was growing up in the 70s, you didn't sass your mama or you might have got a backhand. And those that are my age know what I mean. We walk with great respect. But nonetheless, I never knew that some decades later, I would be indeed called to do my part in healing humanity. Now, family, that is enough and enough about me. Let me begin to bring on a beautiful sister queen. We have sojourned. In North America, we have done much in many, many years. We've done much, and I would like to share how I met this sacred sister queen. I wonder if she will recall and she will remember. I was at a hibachi restaurant. This is going to start jogging her memory. Under the leadership of our dear sister Queen Tia and the Bays, the beautiful and empowered women. And we were sitting in the lobby, and I noticed a beautiful, elegant queen. She carried herself with such royalty and just regal. And she began to express that she was launching her Moving for Jesus site, her Moving for Jesus movement, if you will. And I was so excited to become acquainted with this queen as she was so passionate about this nonprofit that she was starting. And so I was so excited to have a chance to speak with her as I was doing community work at the same time. And so I want to bring on to you and introduce to some, and present to others our dear sister Queen, who has founded Moving for Jesus and Grace Haven Boutique for the service and the upliftment of humanity and those that are in need. I bring to the microphones none other than our dear sister Queen, Ann Sue. Welcome, Queen.
Wow. I'm speechless here because that introduction was more than enough. It was an abundance.
Aww.
I mean, our Savior, my Savior, your Savior.
Queen.
The words were so touching, and I'm trying to get started, and it's like, my. You know,
Sister, bless you, Queen.
I didn't even remember the restaurant, but I remember now that's when it all started. You jogged the memory. I was like, wow, that's when it started, and that's when I invited them all to come to Moving for Jesus birthing launch.
Yes.
Yes,
ma'am.
Do you see how the Almighty works? Unity, you can't separate because it's not allowed in his kingdom. It's not allowed.
Right.
And I am so grateful to know this young lady and see where she has just taken the baton and ran with it. I was following her as I was doing my events, and I said, this lady is awesome. Get back there. Get together and let's do some things. And I tell you, Sister Queen, there's some things that's going on that we are going to do. God is amazing in our life.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
Only thing we just have to do is just give it over and let it be done. And that's what we are doing, you know. And I really appreciate that introduction is better than I just won a Grammy, okay? I'm a Grammy winner, okay?
Oh,
Queen. Thank you,
Queen.
Thank you. It's so much love with you. You give so much love.
You're quite welcome, and it's totally due to you, as you are my predecessor in the love, care, and service of our homeless kings and queens. I will forever look up to you, and I will walk in your great footsteps. You have given birth to me and the work that I do now. So I want you to know how much I honor you, and I'm so humbly grateful for you to be here so that we can share your extraordinary journey with the world, Queen. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, indeed, Queen. So let us begin. I want to begin by talking about the great launch and your work with Moving for Jesus, because that is a powerful name. As you and I talk about how that great Jesus has ascended to the Father, but then he left some servants here on earth for us to move in his name. And so, Queen, talk about the birth of Moving for Jesus.
Well, I'm going to start with just by saying I thank my Heavenly Father for this day. I thank him for putting me in touch with you, for our unity, and for our journey that we're about to take, and that we are his chosen vessels. And, you know, and I've been saying it, I talk with my Lord and Savior in the wee hours of the night. So, see, that's where I was. I was in the darkness, and talking to him in the dark still, he brings me to the light. And Moving for Jesus came from myself and Soul as a domestic violence victim who's now a survivor of so many adversities. What I have to say and put out there and say that if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for me being able to understand and have a relationship with him, not just to call out his name, I had to know him. I had to open the doors because, see, we can close the doors on him. He won't come in, but he'll be there. We do have that power. I opened the doors, I opened my heart, I kneeled to him to save me. And I'll start with as being a domestic violence, like I said, victim and survivor. It started at a very, very, very young age, at the age of 18. I was 18 years old when it started. And this charming gentleman came to me as I stood in front of my high school, you know, seeing actually my vision that God had given me of where I was going. And this this imposter came. And he came as an imposter saying that he loved me. And my whole life changed that day, right on that hill in front of my high school. And as the time went on, the first hit, and when I say hit, it's because I'm feeling it now, even after almost 35, 40 years, that first hit, it continued to grow on and on for another 20 years that I dealt with abuse. My abuse was so detrimental until it became like an addiction for me. It was like if he didn't beat me, he didn't love me. If he didn't do the things that he do, like the kicking and the slapping, that there was no love there. And that's what I came addicted to. And believe it or not, to be abused, to allow yourself to be abused is an illness, but to be abused is an addiction. To like, you know, it begins to feel good. And that's a sad thing for us to go through because fear traps you. It traps you. And to go on and move further, because I could talk about this all day long, all night long, and I do that, you know, talking to some of my clients, telling them about my past and how I went through. But to make, like I said, to get directly to the point of how Moving for Jesus came in, I had been going through this abuse for many of years. And it came to the point where I had gotten gun put in my mouth, gun pull. No, I taste gun powder. I can tell you what that tastes like. But God stopped that. And when I realized after that, I was like, whoa, it's time for me to make a change. Fear not, I'm getting out of here. But before I get out of here from the beating that I'd had like a week before my move, I had been kicked in the head, beaten with a belt, beaten with clothes hangers, everything. And this abuser, he said to me, he said, this won't die. He was talking about me. He called me a name, but I know where the names are not allowed, but you won't die. He had beaten me so, so bad. And I had heard this voice for almost, like I said, a week or two, kept saying, move, move. Yes.
And
move.
Queen.
And it was like a piercing sound.
Yes, Queen, and I'm so humbly grateful for your transparent testimony. Will you please join us right after a station break? We have to pay bills, as my producer tells me. I want you to continue to heal humanity as you're sharing your powerful testimony of survival and lioness-hood. Won't you join us right back? We'll be right back here on Healing for Humanity, near 2X Radio, the voice of the people. We'll continue with this extraordinary testimony from our dear sister Queen Anne Sewell. All right, family, these things happen sometimes. I guess we'll catch our break at another time. Queen Anne, I want to thank you for being brave enough to give us this testimony, which will heal so many on a planetary level, because there are women that are still in a situation where their life and livelihood is threatened, because they are under the hands of an abuser. And I was once that as well, as I have begun to tell my story. So, Queen, won't you continue to give a recount of how you survived and what you went through on behalf of women globally and men that I am learning that have been under the hand and foot of abusers? Won't you continue with your testimony?
All right, thank you, Jennifer, Queen Jennifer.
Yes,
well,
ma'am.
From that, I went like I said, from the badly beaten kick in the head. And actually, I thought I was going crazy because that sound of move was so piercing to the ears and to the head that I grabbed my head and I was like, oh, I can't take this. I can't take this. But I never said, oh, God, I can't take this. I just said, I can't take this. I can't take this. But in it all moving forward, Satan took his place. He took over. And he was saying, kill. Between move and kill, that was all I could hear. I didn't understand. I'm in the flesh. And without the power of my Heavenly Father, not knowing him, not having a relationship with him, I didn't know what to do. So I decided to kill my abuser. I fixed him his favorite meal, which was mashed potatoes, Salisbury steak, and green peas. And I went to a maintenance place, guy that, you know, to do the maintenance at apartment building where they rat, and I got the one of the most deadliest poisons to put in his food. And the poison that was to be put in his food would kill a human being within less than 60 seconds. Our heart would just burst. But that's all that I could see because the evil force had taken over me. I didn't know what I was doing. So that night, I fixed his meal. I stirred up. He came in the house, and his outrage weighed still, hollering and cursing and calling me out my name and demanded his food. I gave him his food. I gave him what he asked for.
Yes.
But this God. The move sound came back. The move sound came back. It came back. And I didn't understand. Like I said, my mind was gone. But the move sound was really my deliverance. But I didn't know.
Yes.
I didn't know. So as he went to take some of the food, my hand immediately went up in the air. And the first time in 20 years, I hit back at this man without trying to hide himself and knocked the plate out of his hand, the food. I knocked it out. And he looked at me and he turned around me. His eyes were red and pierced. And I knew, I said, oh, my God. I called God's name.
Yeah.
I said, he's going to kill me. And that's exactly what he tried to do. This man beat me so bad. Until I was limp in my own hallway bathroom. And he left me there. He left me there. I urinated on myself. All of my body fluids left my body. The voice came again. It said, move. Move. My mouth, everything was so bruised up. Black eyes. I was all wet up, like I said, all my fluids. And I said, my God. You're telling me to move. I can't even get up. Let me tell you about the transformation and the spirit, how it comes in and it takes you. I felt this movement lift me up off the ground. Remember, I'm disabled. This man done kicked me, beat me. Oh, eyes swollen. I couldn't even see. Blood was everywhere. He said he loved me. He left me there. It was dark that I thought, but I know that this happened like 4 o'clock in the evening, and it wasn't dark, but I couldn't see anything. But I saw that light. Remember the light. The voice said to me, I am the light beneath your feet. I will never forget this. It will stay with me to the day I go on to my Father. He said, I am the light. I am the lamp beneath your feet. And it's the spirit started lifting me up off the ground. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about Jesus. How they led me. My keys were always at the same place, but I didn't know where my purse was. That light led me out of danger. I drove my car. This is a true testimony. This is true. I drove my vehicle with closed eyes and busted lips, blood everywhere. And the place that we live, it was like in a new complex. It was only three houses out there now, out there then.
Mm-hmm.
It's about maybe five, six, seven homes now. That's going to show you how old the community is. It was way back in the early 80s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Drove me to safety. My eyes were closed. I followed the light, dark roads.
Amen.
See, this is a testimony of
Amen.
Just how great God is.
Amen.
Led me to a church. Okay, hear me. Led me to a church. I'm passed out. The next morning, I was wrapped up in some clothes in this little room. I couldn't see anything, but I knew that I was still kind of damp. And the church people told me that they had out in the car. They brought me in. I had no ID on me. They probably had ran something on me from my tags, but I didn't have any. I didn't have my purse. I had nothing. But let me tell you something. When I saw my face a week and something later, and I looked in the mirror, and it was disfigured still, God, that's when moving for Jesus became into effect. It was time for me to move. It was time for me to just take the highways. That's when I became homeless. But I came homeless for the wrong reason, pride, shame, because I live large. You see, domestic violence can consist of many things, the materialistic things. The man took care of me. He gave me the best of everything. He gave me everything but love and how you're supposed to love your spouse, your wife. So the thing when you get hung up in those type of things, you just don't know what to do. You're confused. Like, if he don't beat me, he don't love me. If he don't do this, he don't love me. He never loved me. I had to come to agreement with that. So moving for Jesus came in effect when the voice kept telling me to move, move, move. He was talking to me. He was going to take care of me. The Holy Spirit was going to take care of me. The Son of God was going to take care of me. I just needed to make that move. And see, that's what a lot of women that invest domestic violence, they're afraid to move. Move on Jesus' word, because he will set you free. He will protect you. And he protected me out there with a set of keys, a car, no money, no nothing, because the abuser took everything. He took everything.
Wow.
So I decided to go homeless. The church gave me some money, and I went on the run. Yeah, we do that. I went on the run. I went from temp job to temp job because I had to quit my job because he would find me. So it went on. There was no such thing as protected custodies and warrants that you could take out by then. You had to deal with it. So I lived as a fugitive. I lived homeless, and I lived in my car for almost 6 months. That's how I lived. So I know how the homeless people are. You take a shower, twice a week in a hotel, whatever, from agency to agency, running and running, because I was afraid that this man was going to kill me. But what I realized, that the fear that he had put into me, I realized that when there is no room for your fear and God love to live in the same place. God loved me. He loved me. So fear meant nothing to me anymore. I just had to figure out how I could get my life together. So moving for Jesus became my baby. It became my everything. It still is my everything. Everything I do, I move for Jesus. That vision is God. I'm the purpose. Because he knows that in the darkness that I was in, he allowed me that darkness so that I could see the light. And once I went through all of that and realized, then I got into self-destructive behaviors. I needed something to match this pain, and I became on drugs. I had to get on drugs because it gave me a temporary fix. I don't even think about a temporary fix. My God gave me an all-time, everyday, 24/7, 365 days a year fix. I'm good. But my self-destructive behavior became so detrimental that I know that it was the grace of God and his son that kept me alive to this day. I'll never go back that way. Because, see, you don't know. You got a joint in the morning. You got coke in the evening. You got PCP. You got liquor. You got to do this every day in order to feel good about yourself. My outside was artificial. My inside was bleeding. Was bleeding blood. So I had to be delivered. And my deliverance became trying to kill myself for the third time, and the doctor telling me, Miss Sewell, the name of the game when you're trying to kill yourself is don't throw up the pills.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he don't care either. Nobody cares. But God did. God brought me. He brought me to my knees. He closed me in my door. He locked the door. He stopped the TV, and he let me go through that tunnel of burning flames. He let me see what it was like on the other side, and he brought me back. And let me tell you something. When that happened, I woke up. I had been shut down for 2.5 hours. How do you know? Because Jerry Springer was on TV, and it was at 5 o'clock. And when I came around, it was 7:35. I went in the bathroom. My eyes was pierced. They were black. My tongue was black. I began throwing up. I lost my body fluids again, but it was by my own need. But let me tell you something. When I went through that, when I came back up off my knees of praying and calling out, everything that came out of my body had different colors. It looked like a rainbow of dirt. Rainbows are beautiful. Mine was dirty, nasty. All of that was coming out of me. The evil spirit was removing from me. Because, see, it had been attacking me and it had control of me, but it has no control of me. It's under my feet. And that's where it'll stay. I stomp on it. When I looked in that mirror, my tongue was clear again. My eyes was clear. I have never looked back. And I have been moving for Jesus ever since. And I will continue to move for him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because I would tell each and every woman, when you go through those type of darkness, know that there is a reason for it. God let you go through it because he knew that he was there with you. You just didn't know. But always know that he's with you and that he will bring you through. It's called deliverance.
Amen.
And now I'm a brand new me. And I'm here to save as many souls as I possibly can. I'm ready to give love, give hope, and support to all, even those that don't want it. I'm going to rub it all over. Okay? And that's what moving for Jesus is about.
Oh, my goodness. Queen Lioness, I have learned so much more of your extraordinary and bravest testimony. I thank you for your transparency. As I said before, I've begun to talk about the narcissistic abuse that I suffered and survived. I have talked about on this show going through depression and suicidal thoughts. And, you know, when people hear that, say, oh, Queen Jennifer, yes. I had to step from behind my mask, Queen, and begin to talk about... that if I love the woman, if I love these queens, I have to love myself enough to be real with them, that I am not separate, that the things you have suffered and gone through, Sister Jennifer has tasted of those things. Sister Jennifer was en route to 2nd and D Street on a bus after suffering a divorce with her son that was just off of her hip, getting ready to go get a place in 2nd and D when my surrogate grandmother said, no, you won't. You're going to come stay at my house. And so it is such a relief to be able to be real and not have to carry a mask around on my face, but to be able to speak in real, and that is where my healing started. How can I heal the humanity when I have not healed myself and looked at myself and been real with myself? So I am so humbly grateful to you being real with us, Queen. And I want to go into the next section because you have given your testimony. There are women who are hurting. There are women who are wanting to take themselves out of here. But we have someone like our dear sister Queen Anne that will give us the signs and symptoms of abuse she would talk to us about what you might see from someone who is suffering from abuse or someone who is not recovered from abuse. Would you give the world the signs, the symptoms, the hints that you may be dealing with an abuser so that we may avert that as women, as men, as a community? What should we look for, dear Sister Queen Anne?
Here we go.
Mm.
Sign number one.
Talk, Queen.
Sign number one is when they, everywhere you go, you got the report. No, you don't. Sign number two. If he hits you once and makes love to you, he's going to hit you again. If he blames you because he can't find his keys or you moved his mail, he's an abuser. I emphasize so hard to when you are hit the first time, walk away. Don't wait for the makeup. Because, you know, like I said, you can get addicted to that. Because, you know, I got addicted to it. I got addicted to the hit. If he didn't hit me, he didn't love me. If he didn't buy me this, he didn't love me. You don't need that. You have to watch out for that high-pitched voice. You got to watch out for him blaming you for things that he did. You have to watch for it. Anytime somebody hits you because they can't find their keys that they lost, or if you're sitting in the car with them, if you look over just a glance and they knock you up and you're on your way to work, blood flying everywhere because you looked in the other car, watch the sign. Do not go for that, "I'm sorry, baby, I love you." You don't love anything that you abuse. I mean, bodies, God's bodies, God's sanctuary, you don't. Don't allow anybody to hit you. I don't care what they. I don't care if they tell you, "Oh, you made me mad" or something like that. You're gonna make them again mad again because they're taking your identity from you. You got to fight your words. You got to. I mean, for them to hang up on you, or for them to call you out your name, or for them to tell you you're nobody, nobody wants you, nobody. For them to beat and scar you, and then to make love to you, that is not a good thing. I was sick, you all. I allowed it. That's why God grabbed me when I wrote my first book. It was called Artificial Beauty: The Breakthrough. It was a story of transforming from hurt to healing. And the name of my title was Breaking Down the Scaffold. I had built a tent around me. I needed safety. It got to the point where I didn't feel the hits because I was accustomed to it. It became like it was part of living. Somebody beat you and kick you, and then they have sex with you. Come on, then. Come on, come on. That's not God.
Talk about that cycle. That cycle. Oh God.
So
the love bombing.
Yes, it can really, it'll get to where your emotions get mixed up with your love. You may love this person. But you just do not know. And that verbal abuse. The scars, I carry the scars. I carry the rest of my life. On my back, on my arm, my tooth, I'll carry that for the rest of my life. That's how he labeled me. That's what's his love, but it reminds me that's not love. But that verbal abuse will wipe you clean because it's always with you. You ain't nobody. You this. You don't nobody want you this, that, blase. It will wear you out. The physical abuse, the sexual abuse, I mean, who wants to make love to somebody just finished beating you? So it got to the point where I just did it just to be doing it. I don't like it. You know, it gets so much mental stuff on you. So you have to watch those signs. And like I tell my clients, look, run. Go ahead and run. Hide. Go ahead and hide. It's okay because God is with you. He's right there by you.
Yes, indeed.
But don't stay there and wait for the gun to catch you.
That's correct. And we are at another juncture of a commercial break. We're going to see if we get our commercial this time. This is Healing for Humanity on NIA2X Radio, The Voice of the People. We'll be right back.
Good evening. My name is Carlton Thompson, and I'm representing Sunshine Youth Division. Here is news you can use in Black history. Charles Sifford was the first black man who won the United Golf Association's National Negro Open six times to include consecutive wins from 1952 to 1956. Charles Sifford was actually the brother to play on the PGA Tour. Tiger Woods said Sifford paved the way for his career. Sifford turned pro in 1948. But black golfers were excluded from competing in the PGA Association at that time. The great jazz leader, Billy Eckstein, was among the first to sponsor Charles Sifford's career. Also in the news, Surya Bonaly is a retired French competitive figure skater who has competed in the Olympics and won several medals. She is a three-time world silver medalist, a five-time European champion, and a nine-time French national champion. In 1994, at the age of 20, Surya Bonaly performed an illegal move in an Olympic competition, knowing that she would be penalized for it. The illegal move she performed was a backwards somersault, and she landed this somersault on one foot. She is the first person in the world who is known to be able to complete this difficult move, which takes skill, courage, and practice. She then went on performing this move in other competitions, despite the fact she was being penalized for it. Surya Bonaly began skating in 1985 and retired in 1998.
This program is also sponsored by the following: Dr. E. Fay Williams, President and CEO of National Congress of Black Women, invite all to the Lift Every Voice Black Agenda report card on President Biden, the first 100 days. President Biden said he would have our back. Now, on the eve of his first 100 days, a panel of Black America's leading scholars, analysts, and activists will grade his performance so far. We're talking about Mayor Ross Baraka, Brother Chokwe Lumumba, D.C.'s own Nkeche Taifa, Reverend Mark Thompson. Now, Ron Daniels from Institute of the Black World 21st Century will live stream on IBW21.org and at IBW21st. Other frontline black leaders include activist Dr. Julianne Malvo, Tamika Mallory, Dr. Greg Carr, also author and activist Bill Fletcher, just to name a few. Watch live Thursday, April 29th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, this is not a game. Get the report card from Black America. Also, our co-sponsor for this hour is the following: Follow the Leader When It Comes to Great Journalism. The Washington Informer newspaper, a free publication picked up throughout the DMV, Maryland, that's Maryland and Virginia, of course, D.C. Now, when you want balanced, informative, updated news and information, especially about issues in the black community, you can't afford to rely on any other news source except the Washington Informer newspaper. Call them today. Get their affordable advertising rates. The Washington Informer newspaper, a weekly publication with over 30,000 readers. Call right now, 202-562-4100, and get subscription details. That's 202-562-4100. 4100, the Washington Informer newspaper. And now, back to the Jennifer Jalencia show with Healing for America.
All right, family, we're back. It's Healing for Humanity on Nia 2X Radio, getting a powerful, soul-stirring testimony of survival from domestic violence by my dear sister, Queen, and predecessor, Ann Sewell. Queen Ann, you've given such a transparent and really inspirational story of survival. If we could move into a section where you begin to share with women and men alike an exit plan, because I have not suffered to the extent that you have. I suffered one blow, and I got out of there, as you advised us. But there are women that are stuck. They believe they're stuck with an abusive husband or boyfriend or girlfriend. Can you give the listeners a plan of exit, particularly our queens that have young children? What say you to these women and men that are trying to get out of an abusive situation with their lives?
Well, Queen Jennifer, back when I was going through it, and I'm just going to make it short and to the point,
mm-hmm.
everything materialistic can be replaced but your life.
Yes.
Start running.
Yes.
Leave. Don't wait for, I got to get the bank accounts together. I got to grab the kids some clothes. Because, see, nowadays, you can run with your kids and yourself, and you can find shelter. You can find safety. And I call it old school domestic violence abuse. It wasn't there, so we had to run for our life. But when you see this going on, and then the kids get involved, let me tell you something. My son to this day is still tainted. And I would say tainted because his mind is tainted from what he saw his mom go through and what he went through. But his father was a materialistic type of person. He could provide you anything but love. So you run for love. You get out of there. If you want to plan it, you pack a light bag. Don't try to take everything in the house. Don't try to get your kids. Don't try to get you a pack of noodles, a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
You run because you don't find it. Get out. Just leave everything. You're seeking a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving. You're getting out. There are so many places out now, so many facilities, so many organizations that will reach out and help you. God does not want his children to be abused. Know that.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. He didn't put you here for nobody to disfigure his creation because of their satanic ways that they have. So I'll tell anybody that's listening that's in that situation, if you want to get a plan, like they said, get the bank accounts together, get the. But when that man come in shooting and killing and stabbing, his name in your back, and I just dealt with a situation like that, my client ran. She got up and she ran, but guess what? Everybody's there to help her now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait.
Yes.
Don't wait. Don't. That's the only thing I can say. Move. That's what Jesus said. Move.
Amen.
I'm the lamp beneath your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. You know, it just hurts me when God, when I was moved out of that situation and I was sitting around saying I was healed, I was here, but on the inside of me was so moist. I was living an artificial life, you know, fixing my face up and I was hurting. God don't want his children to hurt. That's not what he came here for.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, you know, join together in unity. And, Jennifer, that's why I'm so grateful that God has put us together. It's so much more than we have to do. And like you said, you were on your way to 2nd and D Street. That was your home.
Indeed.
I was on my way to my car because we didn't have those.
Mm-hmm.
To get in the house of Ruth, you had to be halfway dead with your head hanging out. That's when it came into play. But mine was before that. I'm old school domestic violence. That's why I know you can get out of it. And once you get out of it, don't look back, because there's nothing there for you. The only thing back behind you is pain. Like I got another book called Your Fast Factors. It's fear, anger, shame, and trauma. Get out. Yes. Am I healed now? Yes, I am. But I still have memories. That's why I don't want my sisters or my brothers to have to go through what I went through. God made me as an example, but he was there with me.
Yes.
Let me be there with you. Get out. Just move. It's that materialistic things can be. That big house I had behind, it's still there with probably two other owners by now. It's still standing, but what about my life? What about my life? My life was tainted and was torn, and I battled so much with pain and anger. The anger that I had was kill. Trust, no more trust. I was so ashamed of what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
It took me years. I stayed in silence because I didn't want nobody to know. Ann Sewell is living in abuse. Ann Sewell don't live in the big house no more. Materialistic things, let it be. I'd rather live in a shack on a farm on a corner and be happy and be in God's word. So I say to all my sisters and brothers, do not, don't stay there. And domestic violence now is 60%. It has gone up just because of the pandemic. You see, Satan is here. God don't separate his people. But social distance, you can't even be around people because of a disease that's going around that's killing people. Come on now. Know that that's Satan. That's not God's work. But know that in the end, all this will be done. God is working it out. It's preparation. He wants his people to come back to him. Lean on
that's
him.
Right.
Pray to give it
that's
to him.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I had to do. I had to give it all to him. And the biggest thing for me, in order for me to move on, was to be able to forgive my abuser that did all that to me. That was the hardest thing in life for me to do. If I would see him on the corner now, I'd give him a dollar if it's all that I had. I don't hold it against him. I don't. I had to move on because that anger was destroying me. I want to live and let live, and I want to be my purpose that God has put into me. Because, see, if God didn't mean for me to go through this, I wouldn't be here. I went through stuff that people die from. I had an AR-15 put in my mouth. The trigger pulled. It jammed. I tasted the gunpowder. I did. So can you
God kept you clean. God kept you.
He kept me. So I'm here for a reason. I'm going to live long, long life. I'm going to live for a long time because I'm going to help his people, moving the number four, Jesus Incorporated. That's what I'm going to do.
Can you do that, Queen?
I'm here to serve.
You do that. Please, I want you to include Grace Haven Boutique, who I know from working alongside you was birthed out of your experience. Could you tell us in brief about Grace Haven and the services that you offer and give people your contact information as you're sharing that?
Well, Grace Haven actually came to me. I'm going to share to you how actually God do so much for us. And sometimes we forget what he's done for us. And we start doing the crazy things that we used to do, not to the great extent of what it was. Like, when I became the number one drug, I say abuser. I was never an addict because I stopped right then and there when I had that transformation. Just by his grace that he saved me. And I realized that, that's when my new beginning started. And I wanted to share with other women by rewarding them with a program, their purpose, their identity, job awareness. And that's what Grace Haven is, boutique. It's a new beginning. And Grace Haven's intervention with a purpose is your serenity resides here. And the mm-hmm. women actually come in, they do the program, we give them the training, we give them so much love and let them know that they are not alone. And we actually was first just with the Witness Protection Program with the state's attorney. We actually partnered
yes.
with the state's attorney, Aisha Brayboy.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
we get clients from them that comes, you know, that come to us and they go through a program that we are still implementing. And
mm-hmm.
once we get everything confirmed and everything, then the program will be out there full force. But in the meantime, we are still giving women, children, and men things that they need because we are in an abundance. God has
yes.
put me in abundance. So I have so much stuff that I want to give away. Just, and that's all I'm doing. I'm giving away. I'm giving away. Because,
mm-hmm.
see, what we do at Grace Haven, we are seeking a metamorphosis of a brand new me. You know that a butterfly, the little caterpillar, that's an ugly little furry thing. Ball up.
Right.
When the
mm-hmm.
caterpillar see fear coming, it balls up into a little furry ball. I think
mm-hmm.
it's the ugliest thing in the world. But when the metamorphosis set in, a beautiful, beautiful butterfly.
Indeed.
It's free. It's
indeed.
Fearless. So that's
oh,
what
God.
We see. Mm. That's what we see. And we have had some good turnouts. Matter of fact, I just closed the case. Matter of fact, the other day, the lady started running. Her abuser carved his initials in her back. Now, come on. We got three kids by her. She started, like I said, running. And that's what, you know, we do as domestic violence victims. We run and we be silent, but she ran and she talked, which was
mm-hmm.
a blessing. That was how I was able to get her settled out of state. That's God's grace and his power that he's putting in moving for Jesus in Grace Haven. That's what he's
yes.
doing for us. And things are beginning to just blow up, blow up, blow up. I'm seeing so much because, you know, Satan tried to come back and get me. I was going to say, I'm tired of doing this. I ain't going to do this no more. But it's my calling. It's my purpose. It's God's vision for me because he knows that I can do it. That's why I'm a chosen vessel. I'm chosen.
Amen.
God knows
Amen.
That I'm going to run the run, and I'm going to do what I got to do, and I'm going to make sure the bills are paid through my own money. Moving for Jesus don't get sponsorship. It's sponsorship
mm-hmm.
by Ansel, who works at night and works
yeah,
at other
I know
times.
That's right.
I sponsor it. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Because guess what?
That's
the
right,
blessings
please.
Is going to triple. And it's okay. It is really okay.
Amen,
and we
please.
Do that. We do that. And that's why I do it, because I know how God saved me. I know how Jesus came and walked by my side. He took me by hand and he said, Ann, fear no more. I'm with you.
Yes.
And
Amen,
I love
queen.
It. You know, I love what I'm doing. I love working with you, queen. I'm going to continue. We're going to do some great things now. We're going to do some
yes,
great
indeed.
Things.
And we already are.
So big. Yes, your heart is so big. I'm trying to get up in that little bug, okay?
Oh, queen, you have you're in a recess of my heart from now on forevermore, and I want to be able to tell the audience, please join us. Each and every Saturday, this Saturday, we will be at 425 2nd Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. at 2 p.m. The new royal family and Queen Ansel of Moving for Jesus and Grace Haven Boutique serving
yes.
the homeless kings and queens without fail. We're coming up on 1 year. We're trying to match Queen Anne. In her service, as I told her, I'm walking in her footsteps, and it's an honor. I don't take it lightly to be working alongside you. And if we join together, as I say it all the time, we can do miraculous things like that Christ that we claim. We just have to come together in unity, and you and I do that. And Queen Donay, I have to invoke her name because you
yes.
two, you don't
yes.
move without one another, and I just think that's beautiful. And I want to turn the microphone back to you. We have about two or three more minutes. You please give your contact information to the world and give final words of encouragement to anyone globally that may be still in that abusive situation. Give them encouragement to make it out. Please don't forget to give your contact information, Queen.
God bless you, Queen. You are
bless
so
you.
Beautiful.
Bless.
I love you so
Thank
much.
You,
your heart
I
is
love
so,
you.
so big. And I just want to say to the audience is that my favorite verse, but I had to grab hold to it, and I say it, I speak it. My words to you of encouragement is to, like, get into the Word of God. It is so, mm-hmm. It's your only way. It's a permanent fix. It's not a temporary fix. Mm-hmm. And also to know that my favorite Bible verse is Proverbs 31:25. And it's in my mm-hmm. book, is she's clothed in strength and dignity.
Amen.
And she laughs without the fear of the future.
Yes.
I feel only one thing. I feel God.
That.
I want to please him because he saved me. He saved
Amen.
Me. Just my Amen. Grandmother lived to be 106, and she always said, baby, give it all to God. Just give it all
Amen.
To God. And that's mm-hmm. what I do. And I say that, like I said, to each and every one that's out there, you can reach me. You can call me 24/7, and
mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you.
Anytime, that.
24/7. And I'm going to give you some information. You can reach me at www.moving4jesus.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or www.gracehavenboutique.com. Go to each one of those sites. It's an intake sheet on each one of them. Put your information in. If you want to join me, join us, because Jennifer, the new royal family, high five, high 20, high 100. This is an awesome group. We're going to do some things.
Thank you, Queen. Thank you,
I have plenty. I'm ready to give love, support, and hope, because you have to unite in order to do that. See, like I say, that disease that hit us, in our age group, and I'm much older than Jennifer, I never heard of that. Any type
mm-hmm.
of pandemic, come, we got to get shots and all that stuff. Come on.
Right, right.
It came
wow.
to separate God's people. No. God, let my people go. Let my people
Amen.
Go. Those are the words.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, if you need to talk to me, if you need clothing for your kids, furniture, my job, I manage 4 big high-rise apartment units. And I'm saying this because I need people to know they are donating all of the packages that came in
mm-hmm.
that hasn't been
mm-hmm.
claimed over the last 6 months. They are donating them for Moving for Jesus. Let me give them to you. Let
yes.
me give them to you. It's called NC, no charge. Because, see, I work
yes,
for God.
Queen.
I move for him. I move for Jesus. I move for the
Amen.
Son of God. That's
Amen.
My pay. I'm going to be a good, because he gave me my life back. That is so
Amen,
important.
Queen.
He gave me my life back. And he'll do it for you, too. Call
Amen,
me.
Amen, Queen.
Intake me, I'll talk to you. But whatever your needs are, fill that form out and I'll get right back to you. And that's a promise.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Queen. I'm so humbled by this extraordinary testimony and inspirational words to our global community. It is truly adding a healing to fallen humanity. It's needed. It's a big glass of water. To a thirsty humanity, I thank you for being the strong lioness that you are. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday at 2 p.m. as we continue to love on, and just serve the homeless and continue to love on and console those who are still suffering in abuse. You can come out of it. So I thank you, Queen. We're going to let our global community go. I'm going to bid them adieu. That just means we'll see you later. I wish you
okay.
all peace, blessings, healing across this vast planet.
All right. You've been listening to Healing for Humanity. Correction, earlier I said Healing for America. You have not been listening to Healing for America. Thank you for listening to Healing for Humanity on the Jennifer Jalencia Show, a new show every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, we want to recognize Muslims all over the world as they participate in the holy month of Ramadan. It's a month of fasting from sunrise to sunset, abstaining from food and all liquids in remembrance to Allah God, as well as prayer and reading the Holy Quran. This is Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. Keep it right here. We're going to have another powerful show coming right up on Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people, heard at www.blackonblackunity.com.